Begin the current daf from Sefer Yevamos, is daf Yud Gimel. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which opened up the Masechta on daf Beis. So the Mishnah discussed regarding this, these 15 women that are arayas to the Yavam, that not only will she be exempt from the Mitzvah Yibam, but even her Tzara, and then if that Tzara marries a different brother who she's not an Eved to, that is her co-wife who was the Eved to the first one, is not to the second one, then that co-wife will be exempt. Atzar for Olam, they will exempt all the Tzaras. So that's what the Gemara quotes from our mission that said, how does it come about that the Erva will exempt not only her Tzara, but then it goes to describe how, as we just said, will exempt even her Tzara's Tzara, and then the Tzara's Tzara's Tzara, that is when you have two women married to one brother, and then one of them is an Erva to this person we'll call Reuben, that's the Yavam, and then he cannot go out and do a Yibam, not to her or to her co-wife. And then that co-wife marries a different brother who wasn't an Erva, neither one of them for him, and then he has two wives, and he does it on the children. Now the co-wife's co-wife is also forbidden, and so on to all the brothers. So on that, the Gemara is Menon Amili. Where do we know this halacha from, that a Tzara is going to be exempt? We know from the Pesukim, as we described in Daf Gimel and further, that there's a Pasuk of Aleha that says the Isser Erva applies even when the Mitzvah is Yibam. And it also says the term Litzra to say that applies even to a Tzara of the Erva. How do we know it applies even to the Tzara of a Tzara? So I think Mor gives two approaches. Amar Yehuda says Damakra, as we had explained this already on the previous Daf. It says Litzra. It could have said Latzor. Why is it Litzra? To say HaTorah rips the Tzara's heart, but the Torah it comes to include in this exemption of Yibam when one of them is an Erva, which you learned that from the term Aleha, to say that even if there's not just one Tzara, but even the co-wives, Atzeif Olam, that we learn out from the multiplicity of the term Litzra. Rav Ashi Amar, he says a different approach. He says, Svaruhi, it's logic. And that is as follows. Tzara my time asira. What's the reason why a Tzara, who's not an Erva to this, to his brother, that of the one who had passed away, yet she's prohibited from the halacha of Yibum, is because demakam erva kaima, is because she has a relationship in the term of a tzara, of a co-wife, with his daughter, his mother-in-law, whoever it is that was the other co-wife. Therefore, we say she's a tzara of an erva. So on that, the Gemara says, a tzara tzara nami. So essentially, the same thing applies to the co-wife's co-wife, meaning when then she marries a different brother, is because demakam erva kaima. The co-wife's co-wife is now a tzara of an erva too. Because as we already explained, the lamdas, the halachic characteristics of what it means to be a tzara's erva, means to say that once you're exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, you just retain your original Isser Eshesach. So you're back in erva. Since the erva herself, let's say it was his daughter or his mother-in-law, cannot be taken in Yibum, so then she's exempt. But then the pasuk says even the tzara of the erva is exempt. So fine, so there's no heter of Yibum. So that means it's still his brother's wife, this co-wife, who was never an Erva in the medium of Yibum, and now she is, because if you don't have a heter of Yibum, so she's just a brother's wife. Now when she marries the other brother, and there's a co-wife over there, that Tzara is a Tzara of an Erva, of an Eishes Ach, of Sheyesh Leibanim, meaning as if she has children, meaning that there's no heter of Yibum, and that's why Tzara is going to be forbidden also. Now the Mishnah said, regarding these arayas, that it will exempt the tzara. However, the Mishnah did say that ketzad, there are cases where we're going to say that the tzara of an erva is going to be permitted. How so? In mesu hein v'chulu, if the erva, let's say it's the man, the yavam's daughter or his mother-in-law, if she dies first before his brother passed away without any children, or like it says over there, nisgarshu, or if she got divorced first, then the Mishnah says that tzarisei mutaris. Then the tzara will be permitted, will not be considered tzara's erva. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. It sounds like, vafilikinis, even if his brother first married this other unrelated wife to the yavam, meaning the tzara was married when his daughter or one of the 15 women that are erva to him, they were there in the marriage at the same time. And only then, ulibsayf girish, then at a later point in time, he divorced this person, the Yavam's brother, who's the one who passed away without any children, divorced, let's say, his brother's daughter, which makes that there was, at some point, these two women were co-wives before the daughter or mother-in-law, whichever one this erva to the Yavam is, got divorced. In spite of that, it sounds like from our Mishnah, that still the Yavam would be permitted to take the tzara in Yibam, as it says, if his daughter died or got divorced before his brother passed away, since at the time of what's called Nefila, when the Yevamis start falling for him, that when his brother dies, they're not co-wives because she was already, his daughter was already divorced from his brother before his brother died. So then the tzar will be permitted. And that the Gemara asks for a minu, but it seems to be a contradiction from the Mishnah later on, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Where there the Mishnah says, Gimel Achim, if there's three brothers, Shnayim Hem Nesum Bezachay, so two of them are married to two sisters, Be'echad Nosan Achas, and the third one went to a different family, married a woman that's not related to the other two. Now, Girish Echad Mi Bali Achoyis Ishtoy. If one of the brothers that was married to one of the sisters divorced his wife, Umeis Hanosin Achas. Now, after that, the one who was married to the unrelated woman, he passed away without any children. Uchanosa Hamagarish. Now, the one who divorced his wife, who had one of the sisters, at one point had divorced her already, now, after that, his brother, who married the unrelated woman, died, he went ahead and married her. Now, Umeis. Now, he dies. So you have two brothers dead, and you have only one brother left that was married to one of the sisters. Now, the one woman that falls from Yibum is the one that was the unrelated woman to the two other sisters. Now, what it essentially is that she, this unrelated woman, was a tzara of Achois Ishtoi only after she was already divorced. So that is what the Mishnah says over there. Zuhi Shamar, this is what they said in the Halacha, which is the Halacha we're discussing here in our Mishnah too, Shem Mesu in this Karshu, that if the Erva had already been dead, or if she was already divorced, Tzara Seim Mutaris, then the Tzara is going to be permitted. Now the reason is because essentially, this unrelated woman was never a tzara of Achais Ishtoi, of his wife's sister. And the reason is because before this second brother, the one that had divorced his wife, married the unrelated woman from his brother that passed away, she was already divorced. So as the Gemara makes the inference, however, it sounds like from that Mishnah over there, the time of the Girish V'Achkar Kondas, you know why you can go ahead and do Yibum to this unrelated woman, is because your wife's sister was already divorced before this other brother married that unrelated woman. So they were never tzaras at any point in time. So that's why it's not considered tzaras ever, even though it's the same man that at one point had been married to your wife's sister, and now he's the same man that dies with this other woman. But the thing is, they were never tzaras. So of course you can go ahead and do yibum. But it sounds like Abul Kondas V'Achkar Girish Loi, but if he had they were co-wives at some point. That is, if let's say he first, the other brother that had married the unrelated woman passed away first, and then he added on to his wife, another wife, and only then did he divorce the wife's sister, then it would sound like that, they were co-wives at some point. That is a tzaras erva, and then it would not be permitted to take the unrelated woman in Yibum. That seems to contradict our mission. That sounds like in all cases, as long as she passes away or gets divorced before the brother dies, then there's no problem about tzaras erva. So that the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, satavra, it's broken, you're right. They definitely contradict each other. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. The one that teaches our Mishnah will not agree to the halacha over there. They have differing opinions. As the Gemara explains the halachic reasoning. Haitan, the Tana of our Mishnah, Savar Misim Apelles, holds that what creates the halacha of Yibum? That is, the Misa, the death of the husband, of the brother, then that creates that his women fall for Yibum to the other brothers. Therefore, even if he had already first married the other unrelated woman, that's the tzara, and then only later did he divorce the one woman that's the erva to the yavam, but since at the time of death she's not a tzara's habas, or one of the tzara of one of the other arais, because she had already been divorced, so then she's going to be permitted. We don't care that if at some point in time there were co-wives, because that's unrelated to halacha of yibum. But the Haitana, the Tana, on Daf Lamed, Savar, he holds, Nisun Harishonim, what creates the mitzvah of Yibum? It's the original marriage that the woman had been married to the husband. That's Mapilim. That's what creates the mitzvah of Yibum. Because essentially, Yibum is an extension, a building of the first original marriage. Therefore, since at some point, if you have first Konas, V'achkach Garish, at some point they were tsaris, they were married at the same time, So then she's forbidden forever. She's a tzaras erva. So even though when the brother dies, she's the only one left and there's no other erva here, it doesn't make a difference because essentially what Yibum is building upon the first marriage. And therefore, since Nisurin Hirushayim Apilim, if at some point in time they were tzaras together, that would make it usr. The only way that Tana would hold, Meso Nisgarshu, that tzar would be permitted if she was divorced or died before he ever even married the other woman. And that would make it that they would never tzaras, even in Nisurin Hirushayim, then they would be permitted. But our Mishnah holds that no, it's the Misum Apelas, and since at the time of death they're not tzaras, it's going to be permitted. That's one approach. The Gemara brings that up. Rav Amri says, no, lo'ilam chad tano. You could even say it's actually the same tano. But, however, as the Gemara says many times, bizu, that is our Mishnah over here that says the bigger chiddush of kanas l'b'soif garish mutaris, that even if he first marries the tzara, and only later does he divorce the erva, that it's, she's good, that now the co-wife will be permitted to the brother, as we say, u'meisu bito in iskarshu, is what's called v'ein tzarech loimer zukatani. And that is, of course, we didn't have to say the halacha in the Mishnah Daf Lamed when there's three brothers and first is divorced and only later did you marry the co-wife. That, of course, since they were never tzaras at any point in time, even in the marriage, of course you can go ahead and do yibum to the tzara. However, that's a Talmudic law that sometimes you say zuva in tzarech lemezukat, meaning this is halacha on Daf Beis, where even if they're co-wives at some point, but at the time of death, they're not, the tzar will be permitted to be done yibum. And of course, we don't have to tell you, which is the next, the Mishnah later on, Daf Lamed, that if she wasn't even co-wives at all, even in the marriage, of course you go ahead and take her in yibum. But of course, that not that it's coming to contradict our halacha here in Daf Beis, it's just that, and of course we don't have to say that, because even when it's kanas l'b'soif garish, that even then, if at the time of death, she's already gone, it will not be usur to marry and do yibum to the tzaras erva. Now, the Mishnah also said that a different halacha. The Mishnah ended off with a unique halacha that said, "V'chol shichoy l'mayin." Regarding these 15 women, where the Mishnah qualified it can't apply to all the 15 women, but basically when you have an erva that's a minor, and therefore she could do miyun, she could refuse her marriage, which was created not by her father, but by her brothers or her mothers because they were concerned for her, but she's not biblically considered married. Now the Mishnah said, if she could still do miyun, even if she had not done miyun, then the Mishnah said, tzarosa chilatzas. Then you have to do chalitza to the tzar. Now, and that the Gemara asked, v'timoin, why cannot the erva, let's say it's his daughter or it's whoever it is, let her do miyun, which is a refusal of the marriage to the erva, because we're talking about a case where there's, let's say, two wives, and we said that if one of them is an erva, so the other one will be tzaras, will be exempt. Now, however, we said that if one of them is an erva, but she's still young enough that she could still do miyun, then we're not going to totally exempt the tzara. Neither will we allow the tzara to do yibum. We require the tzara to do chalitza. But the Gemara asks, why is that? Let the erva, let's say the daughter, do miyun to her father, hashta now, meaning she'll say to the yavam, which is her father, say, look, I don't want this marriage that my mother and my brothers did for me to my husband that just passed away. Now, what miyun does, halachically, it totally uproots the kedushin. It's like as if she was never married. That's the halach of miyun. And then, v'tisyabim, let the tzara do yibum to the yavam. Because what comes out is that this daughter or one of these other women that are arise were never even married to the brother. And therefore, you're left with just one unrelated woman to the yavam and let her do yibum. Shouldn't we allow, why are we saying that if she could do miyun? So she is not really a halachically married because she's only rabbinically married. So yes, that's not going to, so it's like a quasi type where we can't totally exempt the tzara because she's not really a tzara's erva biblically, but neither can we go ahead and allow her to do yibum because again, she's a tzara's erva rabbinically at least. So the Gemara is asking, but why? Do miyun. And then she's out of the picture. She's out of the picture. Go ahead and do yibum to the tzara. So that the Gemara wants to say from here, that le misayeler b'isha, from the fact that we don't allow this, we don't say that the miyun will totally uproot the marriage and say she's out of the picture and then to go ahead and allow yibum to the tzara. Let us say it supports b'isha's halacha. The Gemara b'isha, that b'isha says that regarding halacha later on Daf Kav Zayin and Aleph, where there's a machlekes b'isham b'shil, and b'shil say that the minor wife is allowed to do miyun not only to her husband, but she could even do it to the yavam. And then Rabbi Yishai qualifies the halacha. doesn't mean that when you could do miyun to the yavam, that it would totally uproot even the marriage that she had to her husband. What it means is that mima'enes, that she could do miyun lima moray. It only means that she could uproot the mimer that the yavam does to her. Let's say if the yavam goes ahead, you don't have to have this stage in the halacha of yibam. You can go ahead and just consummate the relationship. However, if one wants to, one can do what's called a mimer, which is a rabbinic type of a kedushin in the yavama. So if let's say the yavam gives a mimer, does a mimer, some type of like one stage before nisuin, which is he does a mimer in the minor yavama, then she says, you know what, I don't want to have a part in this, and she does miyun. So Rabbi Yishai says that what the miyun does, it uproots the mimer. And what it does is it just returns her to the original zika that there was. Which means to say that, look, I'm still like before we did a mimer. It's just uprooting the mimer, but that puts you back in, okay, you're back in the original stage of when mimer wasn't done, that there's a zika, there's a bond between the yavama and the yavam. So therefore, then you still have to do chalitza. Now, although by a gedayla, by an adult woman, that if the yavam would go ahead and do a mimer with her, and then she would say, hey, okay, and they decide they don't want to go ahead and consummate this yibam relationship, and that the Gemara says in Dafnun Mabe is that, okay, then you would have to do not just chalitza, you would also have to do a get for the mimer, which to remove some that type of quasi-marriage, and then the chalitza for the zika. But here Rabbi Yishai says what Beis Hillel is saying, that the yavama, that's a minor, that could do miyun, even to the yavam, is saying only that the miyun will be uprooting the mimer. And that is, but you, and therefore what that means is that you won't need a get for the mimer. But ve'eina meme'enes lezikase. But what Rabbi Yishai is saying in the opinion of Beis Hillel, but you cannot do miyun to the zika. What that would mean is the zika comes, it stems from, the root of that is the original marriage that she had to her husband. Now, and that is what Rabbi Yishai is saying, that cannot uproot the original marriage that she had to her husband and to then remove the zika to the yavam at all. And then not only would, when we say you could do miyun to the yavam, that you wouldn't have to do a get for the mimer, but it would even mean that you cannot, that you don't even have to do chalitza because she was never married to the brother. That Rabbi Yishai says that doesn't do. And therefore, that would make sense, like Rabbi Yishai is saying, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah. Because what are we saying? We're saying that there's two women, let's say, an erva and a tzara. Now, the erva is a minor. So we said that if erva is a minor, that then the tzara has to do chalitza. Why? So we said, why don't you just do miyun? And then you're out of the picture. And that makes sense, like Rabbi Yishai, because miyun cannot uproot the original marriage that she had to the husband to say that the tzara is permitted. And hence, she still remains. The only thing that it could do that Beis Hillel was saying over there to the Yavim is just to uproot the Mimer. This new marriage, it could uproot. But the old marriage to her husband, once she falls for Yibam, that you can't uproot anymore. That's already in the past, and that happened. And therefore, the Tzara is like some type of rabbinic Tzara's Erev, and that's why it has to be that Tzara is Chaletzes, V'lo Misyabemes. Nothing Gemara says lie. Gemara says it's not a right term. But Yishai could be that actually Miyun, in the understanding of Beis Hillel, when you're doing mean to the Yavam, it's not just uprooting your relationship to the Yavam, let's say when he does mimer to you. It even uproots saying that the whole marriage never happened, even to the Baal HaRishon that passed away. So if that's the case, so why can you not do miyun and then now the tzara will not be a tzara's erva because they were never married together, they were never co-wives. The Gemara says, tzara's erva shani. The tzara of an erva, which is the case that we're talking about, we're not just talking about a minor that's doing miyun, we're talking about that this minor that's doing miyun was the erva. So that creates it differently. That is, the Rabbanan decreed, it's a gezeira, the concern, not to allow her to do miyun, to permit her tzara in yibam. And the reason is because we don't want it to cause a disgrace regarding the halacha, that people might come to act lightly in the halacha of tzara's erva, because if we allow this case, they might come to allow a classic case of a tzara's erva. As we find the similar halacha, turn around by Yecheskel, he says, miyano, let's say unrelated to what we're talking about over here. If let's say, a man's daughter-in-law goes ahead and does miyun babal in her husband. So that the halacha is muteres la'aviv. She's permitted to consummate a relationship with his father, meaning her father-in-law is permitted to go ahead and marry her. And the reason is because once she does miyun to her husband, so it totally uproots the marriage, and it was as if she was never married to his son. She was just seduced by his son. And that's not considered a marriage, and therefore she's permitted to him. However, this is what Rabban Bar Yecheskel says. But if let's say his son, her first husband, dies, and then miyano b'yavam, then she does miyun to the Yavim. In other words, he dies without any children, so now the brother is going to go ahead and do Yibam. But she refuses the Yavim, she does Miyun. Now what she's doing is she's refusing the Zika of the Yavim. Now, although, and this is where we're saying that it doesn't have to be like Rabbi Yishya, rather it could be like Rambam Yecheskel saying that although that she is uprooting the original marriage to her first husband, still Asur La'Avim. She's still going to be forbidden now to his father, which is her father-in-law. Now, why would be the reasoning of that? Oh, if you're saying that it's totally uprooting the marriage, so even though it's not, the mian wasn't done to her first husband that passed away, but rather to the Yavam, but she was never married to, not the Yavam, not to her husband, why should she be forbidden to the father-in-law? And that is what the Gemara says, but Amma, what we see from Yoram Bar Yecheskel is that Mishas Nefila is because it's nearest Kakalasi. She looks like now his daughter-in-law. In other words, from the moment that there was a creation of a mitzvah of Yibum, which means to say now there was a necessity of doing something, either doing Yibum, Chalitza, or Miyun to the Yavam because of the original marriage, now it definitely looks like that she must have been married to his first son to create her to be in the context of an Eishes HaMeis, and that's why it looks like she's his daughter-in-law. Now, although you're right, she's not his daughter-in-law, because when she finally did Miyun even to the Yavim, it uprooted the first marriage, but there's an element of like a Mara sign of Nearest. She looks like it, because you wouldn't be doing a Miyun to a Yavim, you wouldn't be even talking to the Yavim to decide what we're going to do if you weren't married to the first son, and that's why, since it looks like a daughter-in-law, it will be forbidden now to the father-in-law. Now the Gemara says, Hachinam hirosa by tsaras erva. Mishas nefila, since there was a moment when the daughter was zakuk to the Yavim, to her father, and that means to say that there was something that had to be done, and she had to do, if to allow anything, a miyun to her father because of the first marriage that she had to his brother, Siniris, it already seems like that there was a full-fledged marriage to his brother to create her in being the wife of the dead brother, and therefore it looks like that the tzara is kitzara spita. She looks like the tzara of an erva of bas. And therefore, if we allowed it in such a case, although halachically it should be allowed, not like Rabbi Yishya, the mean would be uprooting the original marriage to his brother, and therefore the tzara would not be tzara's erva. However, if we allowed this case of a tzara's bas, again, although she's not really a tzara of a bas because she's doing mian, but we might come to allow even when mian is not done because it looks like the tzara's of a bas, because the daughter wouldn't be talking to the father in Besdin, what should we do? You know, what do you mean, what should we do? You mean you were married to my brother and that's why we have to talk even in the first place to do mian or that there's no yibam and chalitza? Therefore, it looks like tzara's bas, and therefore we don't allow in such a case mian to uproot the original marriage, to allow the tzara of this bas as if they weren't related whatsoever. And that's why we say that in such a case that the tzara has to be chaletzis v'lam misabemis. Can't go ahead and do yibum because there was this relationship. The mian is not something that we're allowing to undo that. And since we're not allowing mian, but you can't go ahead and totally exclude the tzara at all either because it's not a biblical erva because she was only married rabbinically. And that's why the halacha is the tzara of this erva that could do mian will be chaletzis v'lam misabemis. Now the Gemara moves on to the next Mishnah, a continuation of the first Mishnah of Ar Masechta, where there we said that there are 15 women that are ervas, and as we brought proof from Psukim that an erva cannot be taken, and neither could a tzara of an erva be taken in the midst of Yibum. So therefore, there are paitas tzarasein, but tzarasein, and achalitim in Yibum. Then our Mishnah continues and says, Sheisha rayis chamuris mi'elu. There are 6 other women that are ervas that are more stringent than the 15 mentioned in the first Mishnah. And because of that, there's actually going to be what essentially is halachic leniency. Now, what is their stringency? Their stringency is, they can only be married to others, and they cannot marry your paternal brother. They cannot marry your brother that you share fathers with. And therefore, if the husband that's married to one of the wives is your erva of the 6 that we're going to mention, so since there's no relationship to you whatsoever with that husband that dies, so actually tzarasein mutaris. So actually the co-wives of the 6 ervas that we're going to be mentioning right now will be permitted for you to marry because they're not in the context of the mitzvah of Yibum whatsoever because they can never be married to your paternal brother. As the Mishnah mentions these 6 women. First of all, there's Imai. If let's say it's the, not Yavam, but this man's mother is married to this man, and there's co-wives, and he dies without any children, or whatever it is, the co-wives are not a problem for him to marry. Now, the reason is because his mother can never marry his paternal brother because that would be forbidden for him because of Eshes Ha'av. She's his father's wife. Now, although it might be he has a different mother from his father, but since it's his father's wife, it would be forbidden. Same thing is Ve'eshes Ha'av. If, let's say, it's not his own mother, but it's his father's wife, a different woman, then again, if she's married to some other person, so then the co-wives are going to be permitted because it's never going to be in the context of Yivam because his brother cannot either marry that woman because of his father's wife. Third one is Vachaisav of his father's sister. Again, none of the brothers can marry the father's sister, and therefore it's always going to be when she dies and there's co-wives and the husband dies that then there's not going to be a context of Yibam, so of course there's no problem about Litzra. It's only by Allah and you can marry the co-wives. The fourth one is Achaisai Me'aviv, his paternal sister. Again, none of the paternal brothers can marry the paternal sister. The Eshes Achi'aviv, the fifth one is his father's brother's wife, meaning the aunt, but it's his aunt because it's his father's brother's wife. Again, none of the brothers can marry her. And the sixth one is Ve'eshes Achiv Me'aviv, is his brother's wife, if they share the same father. In other words, a regular paternal brother's wife, when he has children, who then there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so then all these six women are always going to be forbidden for his brothers from his father, in other words, that they share the same father, paternal brothers, so just like they're forbidden on him, they're forbidden to them. And therefore, there's never going to be an element of a case of Yibum for these six women. And that's why, who could they marry? They could only marry someone unrelated to him. And if they have other wives, and then these men die, so then it's permitted to marry the other women because the halacha of tzaras erva will only be forbidden, as we explained in the previous dafim, only when it happens in the context of the mitzvah of Yibum together with the erva at least one time. So then we say that she's going to be exempt because of a tzaras erva, and that issa will remain forever in the halacha of what's called the issa eshes ach shesh labanim. Even if there's no children, but halakhically we view it as if there is children, if there was already exempted at one time of a Yibum. But again, none of these women could ever be in the case of Yibum. Therefore, they'll never be valid for this halacha of the Isra of Tzara, and therefore the other co-wives, again, since they're so stringent, they're such strong arayas that none of the brothers can marry them, therefore they're only going to be marrying other men, and therefore the other men, there's no halacha of Litzrar, and that's why one would be permitted to marry the co-wives of these six women. Now, however, the Mishnah brings, regarding what we took for granted from the previous Mishnah, that there is such a halacha concept of tzaras, the Mishnah brings that Bishamai actually argue. They're matirin hatzaras, they permit the tzaras erva to do yibam, to lachem to the brothers, and that's because, as the Gemara will bring, that they don't hold the drasha of litzra. They don't bring this halacha there is an exemption of erva, but the co-wives actually would be permitted. And this that we took for granted, the Mishnah up until now, is the Bishul holds that it is forbidden, as we brought from Litzra, that they hold that there's not only exemption of Aleha for the Arva, but even the Litzra, the Tzaras, will also be exempt from Yibam and Chalitza. Now, therefore, the Mishnah continues Amud Beis. Since we have this Machlekes Bisham Bishul, we're going to have a few ramifications of this. And that is, if let's say the Tzaras of the Arva go ahead and get Chalitza from the brothers, so Bisham would say that these women are now at least rabbinically forbidden to marry Kahanim because, according to Bisham, it's a valid chalitza. These tzaris erva fall for Yibum. There's a regular mitzvah to do Yibum or chalitza to them. Not like Bishil, who says that, no, you don't even come into the parasha whatsoever. Just like an erva is part of Yibum chalitza, so too is Litzra. But Bisham doesn't hold to that. So when you do chalitza to these women, the tzaris erva, then you're going to, if it's a valid chalitza, and therefore that would invalidate them from kahuna. But Bissel hold that no, they will be kasher for kahuna. And the reason is because that's not a chalitza that you're doing. It's like a foreign person just doing chalitza because there is no mitzvah of yibam in this context. So that's not a rabbinic divorce of chalitza, and therefore they're still kosher to be taken for kahanim. The converse is nisyamu. If let's say they went ahead and had Yibam done to them, to the brother, the Tzaras Erva. So Bisham Makshirin. Bishami say they're still kosher for Kahanim if, let's say, they become widows from the Yavam, because that's a valid Yibam. So there was a regular, full-fledged, legitimate marriage. An Amon is permitted to a Kayin. Bisil say that, no, these women are forbidden for Kahanim. And the reason is because they had an intimate relationship with someone that was forbidden to them. And the halacha is that if a woman has relations with someone that's forbidden to her, she becomes halachically like a zayna, like a harlot, and a zayna is forbidden to kahanim. Because according to Beis Hillel, these are ervas. This is Ashes Ach, a full-fledged brother's wife that has no mitzvah of yibim to it because she's a tzara's erva. So she'll be invalid for kahanim. However, the Mishnah tells us, Afa pisha elu aysim el matirin, even though these camps were saying this is forbidden and these camps were saying it's permitted, which is the machlekes b'sham b'sil, elu paisim el machshirim, these were saying that this is invalid and these were saying these are kosher. Le nimnu b'shamai melisa nashim b'sil. Still, the camp of b'shamai did not hold back from marrying the women of b'sil. V'lo b'sil b'shamai, and neither did the camp of Beis Hillel stop from marrying the women that were from the families of b'shamai, and that is in spite of the fact that the sons of the tzarais that had yibim done to them like Beis Shammai were mamzerim according to Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Hillel, there was an Isser Eishas Ach on these women, on the tzarais erva, and an Isser Eishas Ach is a chiv of karis. Now, those arayis that have a punishment of karis on them, as the Gemara says on the next daf, creates those children as mamzerim. In spite of that, Beis Hillel did not hold back from marrying the women of Beis Shammai. The reason is that Rashi brings is because Beis Shammai, those families, would notify their counterparts, Beis Hillel, which women, which children were those that came from the Tzaras Erva, and then Beis Hillel would hold back and not marry those, because according to them, they are Mamzer. But they did not stop from intermarrying one with the other at all in totality. Similarly, the Kalatiris Vatimeus, regarding all the things regarding purity and those things are impure, Shahayu Elam Etam Ve'el Metam, where this camp would say that this is Tar and this camp would say that it's Tameh, in spite of the fact of their arguments, Le'nimnu Eisen Taharis Elo Agaba Elo, they didn't hold back from making purifications one with the other. In other words, they would lend their vessels one to the other, in spite of the fact that according to one this is Tameh, according to one that's Tar, still they would go ahead, as we said regarding marriage, same thing regarding borrowing their vessel. Now the Gemara asks, Amar Bshim Ben Pazi, my time at the Beis Shammai, what's the reason of Beis Shammai that they hold that it's permitted to do Yibum to the Tzaras Erva? Why do they not have that drasha of Litzra? So the Gemara says, like it says a pasuk in Devarim. It says, Loisia Eishas Hameis Hachutza. It says that the wife of the one who passed away, which is the context of the mitzvah of Yibum, so there was a man that died without any children, so the wife of the mess, that's Hachutza, which, as Rashi explains, according to the way the Gemara is explaining in the opinion of Beis Shammai, Hachutza means the woman that's on the outside, meaning to say that she's unrelated to the Yavam. And that is what the Pasuk is saying. She shouldn't be Le'ish Zar. She shouldn't go to a foreign person. Rather, as the Pasuk there is saying, that one should do Yibam, that she should marry the Yavam. So on that, Reb Shimon ben Pazi says, is Chutza Mechlal De'ikah Pnimis. Now, if we're saying that there sounds like the one that's on the outside should not go to another man, rather she should go to the Yavam, the one that's the wife of the husband that passed away, it sounds like that there is someone, however, that's on the inside, meaning together with the one that's on the outside. What does it mean that she's on the inside? Meaning that she is related to the Yavam. She's not chutz to the Yavam. She's not unrelated. She's panimish. She's a karib. She's an erva to the Yavam. And still the Torah tells you that the chutzah one, meaning the tzara of the pnimis, the other wife, the co-wife of the erva, should not go to Ishar, rather should go to the yavam. So you see clearly that a tzara of an erva, the chutzah of the pnimis, should not be to Ishar, rather should go to the yavam, that obviously a tzara's erva is permitted to be taken in yibam. However, Beis Hillel, they say that no, the way you interpreted the pasuk of hachutza is not saying the woman that's on the outside, meaning the tzara of the pnimis, of the erva that she's permitted to the yavam, it's coming to say a different halacha. From where do we know that marriage cannot be taifis, will not acquire a yavama that's waiting, that didn't have chalitza done to her yet? How do we know if someone that unrelated, just a person, he hears this woman's a widow, and he goes, I want to marry that woman. And he goes and says, here, we're engaged. He gives her money and he creates a kedushin. So that is what Rabbi Yehuda Merav says. How do we know that that is not considered halachically a marriage? In spite of the fact that generally it should be, because although there's a negative prohibition for a yavama that didn't have chalitza to sever the zika bond, or yibim that consummates the yibim bond, that she's not allowed to go ahead and marry anyone unrelated, But that's just chiyuv alav. That's just a negative prohibition for another man to marry her. She's not an erva to this unrelated man. It's just a leisa say. And generally, a lav kedushin is typhus. So then Rav Yehuda Rav says, how do we know but that in this context that the kedushin will be like it never happened? Shneim, like it says in the pasuk that we brought for Beis Shammai, which Beis Hillel interprets in a different way. That it shouldn't be that the wife of the one who died to go outside to a foreign man, which means leisia b'havai lezar. There shouldn't be havai, which is always a term, leisia, havai always connotes kedushin. She shouldn't be to a foreign man, which is telling us that the havai will not take place, that kedushin will not be typhus. That's what Beis Hillel uses from that pasuk, not to say hachutza, the outer one, meaning that's the tzara to the penimis, to the erva. But Beis Shammai, they argue, they say, no, miksiv lechutz. According to Beis Hillel's interpretation, if you're trying to say that the pasuk is referring to that kedushin will not be typhus for someone on the outside, to the tzar, it should have said, leisia eshes hameis lechutza. The wife of the one who died should not go out to someone from the shuk, to someone unrelated, le'ish zar. It should have said l'chutz, but chutz ksiv, it says the outer one. It sounds like that there's a woman we're defining. We're saying that l'siya eshes hameis hachutza shouldn't be that the wife of the dead one, meaning the outer wife. It doesn't say l'chutz to the outside. It says it's a definitive term. It's defining a noun of the co-wife of the eshes hameis. She shouldn't go l'ish zar. But according to Beis Hillel, it should have said l'chutz. But Beis Hillel, they responded no. Although you would say that the term chutza sounds like the outer one, however, it's command of sib l'chutzam. It actually is as if it's written to the outside. And it is tomat that kedushin is not teifis in yevama l'shuk. How do we know that? The Tanya, like within the Braisa. Tchemi Aimer, he says, kol teva shetzvich alamed betchilasa, any word that needs alamed in the beginning, which means to, hit the lahakos of hei b'seifa. So the pasuk doesn't write alamed in the beginning. It actually writes a hey at the end, which is the equivalent as if it had a lamed in the beginning. So therefore, hachutz is like l'chutz. But Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, as we learned in the Brayos of Rabbi Shmuel, that he says, k'goin elim elima. It was saying elim. It added on a hey, which means two elim. Machanayim, it says machanoima, means two machanayim. Mitzrayim, it says mitzrayimo, to say two mitzrayim. Divlei soima, yirishleimoya, midbara. All these words that have hey at the end, actually, as if it had a lamed in the beginning. And therefore, it's not a contradiction for Beis Hillel's halacha that it says hachutza to say that it's l'chutz, and it's tomat, the condition is not teifis in yivam l'shuk, but not like Beis Shammai was learning it regarding the heter of its tzaras erva. Now, the Gemara says, fine, that's the understanding in their machlekes. How do you interpret hachutza? Is it l'chutz or is it the outer woman to say if tzaras erva is going to be asr or mutter? But the Gemara asks Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda Merab Menolahu, how does he know if he's interpreting hachutza as the outer one, not lechutz? How does he know that halacha, that kedushin is not teifis in yivam l'shuk? Now the Gemara answers, le'ishzar nafka. He learns it out from the next words in the pasuk of le'ishzar. So yes, it's one saying one halacha of hachutza, but it's also saying the halacha of, but that she shouldn't go le'ishzar, and therefore we see the kedushin havayu, le'isi, will not take place in a foreign man. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so Beis Hillel namitei b'luhum el-ishzar. Beis Hillel should also learn out the iser of that kedushin is not toifis for the yivam l'shug from l'ishzar. Why would they have to say hachutza to say that? So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, you're right, they also learn that from the words l'ishzar. So if that's the case, the chutza l'omali. So you're back to the question. Why do you need the words chutza if you don't learn like Beis Shammai, that's saying that that's the source of the hetra of the tzara's erva, because it's saying that the outer one of the inner one, the tzara of the erva, is going to be permitted to be taken, that's for the yavam and not le'ishzar. So I think Mara says that hachutza is teaching something else. It's l'rabbis harusa. It's actually coming to include that if a woman that was one of the co-wives of the brother that died without any children, she was widowed just from being engaged, even there we're going to say that she's going to require yibum and chalitza, she's going to have a relationship to the azika, to the yavam, just like as if she was full-fledged married. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why a woman that was just engaged would be called chutza, which sounds like she's on the outside, is because she wasn't yet on the inside circle, so to speak, because she never was intimate with her husband. So she's still somewhat of a chutza, and that is what we're learning from hachutza, meaning not like Beis Shammai, that's the outer one of an inner one, that she's a tzar of an erva. Rather, it's saying, yes, there are inner ones, full-fledged wives that were had nisuin done to them. But then there's an outer one that was saying that even an outer one that just was engaged, even she's going to require the mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza. But Ve'idach, Beishamah would say, Mechutza ha-chutza. You're right, there is both halachas. Chutza will tell us the halacha of if she was Nis'almanlo just from Erison. But ha-chutza, the hey, what's that coming to add? You don't need to say ha-chutza. That's coming to say the outer one, meaning in contradistinction to the inner one, which is telling you the mitzvah of Yibum even to the tzar of an erva. But Ve'idach Besil would say chutza ha-chutza le-mashmo. They don't hold that there is such a more detailed understanding of learning up two halachas from this chutza ha-chutza. They don't say from the extra hey, you can learn that up. And therefore, that's the resolution of this machloek is b'sham b'sil. Do you learn up from the ha of hachutza to include that's the tzar of a erva, or like b'sil says that not, and we know the isra of tzar's erva from litzra. That's one approach in the opinion of b'sham, which is that we learn up from the word hachutza to tell you the heter of tzar's erva. Rav Amar, he says, tamay de b'sham, the reason of b'sham, that you don't have the isra of b'sil of the tzar's erva is for a different reason. It's based on a different halacha. It's because it's the ein iser. You cannot have the iser of eishes ach, of your brother's wife, to be chal al iser, that it could then go ahead and take place and be piled on to the original iser that there is. So we're talking about these 15 women that are arise. So we'll pick the first one, let's say the daughter. So let's say this man, the Yavam, he has a brother that died without any children. Now, one of the wives was his daughter. Now, that Isra of Bitoy cannot be compounded by adding on another Isra of Eishasach. It's halacha that's called Ein Isra Chal Isra. You can't pile up Isra on the Isra. Something's forbidden. It's forbidden. It has just one Isra. You can't say it's now, oh, there's another Isra Chal on it. It's already Isra. So that means as if the second Isra is not on it. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains the logic behind this, is that, so therefore, this daughter was really never in the context of Yibum. And it's as if she's not even here. Now, the reason why it's like she's not even here is because she's not his brother's wife, which means to say the erva of a brother's wife, that then Yibum permits that, because forget about it. I don't look at her. Yes, she's obviously married to him and she has all the halachas of marriage to him, but regarding me, the Yavam, she's my daughter. She's not my brother's wife. So therefore, of course, she's going to be forbidden because of the daughter. But more than that, the logic says is that she's not his brother's wife. Now, therefore, the same thing applies to all the other arayos. Let's say it's his wife's sister. And as Rashi says, the way we just define this halacha is how the maskana of the Gemara will explain this opinion of Rava. However, Rashi clarifies that the Gemara now asks a question on Rava. Teinach hechad enasa, the Gemara is going to ask a question. The reason is because the Gemara didn't know full what was Rava's intent. And the Gemara assumed that what Rava was talking about, for example, like the cases of Achais Ishtoi, of when it's his wife's sister that was his brother's wife, and cases like that which were created arayos through Kiddushin. And that the Gemara assumes that the erva of Eishes Ach will not allow an Isser of Achais Ishtoi to be chal on that. So the Gemara assumes that the reason why the tzara of an erva, according to Bishameh, will be permitted in what Rav is coming to explain, is because actually the erva of Achais Ishtoi or these other arayas will never be able to be chal because she's already forbidden because of Eishes Ach. As we're going to explain in the Gemara from Taisis, that yes, she herself is definitely forbidden because if we go ahead and take her with the heter of Yibam, then her iser erva will be chal. But the woman herself is forbidden. Now, however, only based on Eishes Ach, but not because of the erva of Achais Ishtoi or one of these other things, because it cannot be chal on the Eishes Ach. And therefore, as we're going to see from the Gemara's question, the Gemara is assuming that was Rava's explanation of why, according to Bishamai, the other tzara is not a tzara of, quote, an erva of Achais Ishtoi or one of these other rites, because she's not an Achais Ishtoi, she's just an Eishes Ach. So the Gemara asks as follows. Teinach Hecha dinasa mes. So the Gemara says, I could understand, Rava, what you're trying to explain to Bishamai, where if the one who died, that brother, if he's the first to marry, meaning, let's say the first in the family to marry, where we'll pick the case of Achais Ishtoi, which is, let's say there's two sisters that another brother will ultimately marry the other sister. The first one to marry in the family was the one who actually died first. Now, v'achkech nosachai, and then the other brother, who the Yavam we're going to call him, he marries this erva. We'll call it, in this case, achis ishtai, the wife, the other sister. Now, and that is what the Gemara says. I could understand what Rav is trying to say. Le'asi iser achis isha, that you cannot have this, the wife's sister of the living brother, to be v'chayla iser eshesach. That cannot go ahead and then be piled on to the Issus Eshes Ach, which was first. In other words, the first marriage that happened was the one who dies without any children. He's the first one to marry. Now, what that makes is that all his wives become prohibited for all his brothers because of its Eshes Ach. It's their brother's wife. Now, although now the other brother, what we're going to call the Yavam, marries the other sister, now there's another reason why his brother's wife should be forbidden. Because now she's not just his brother's wife, she's also his wife's sister, which is the Issa Achis Ishtai. But no, Eines Echal Alisser, she's not Achis Ishtai. So if she's not Achis Ishtai, so she's like a regular Eishasach, so that's why I could understand what Rav is trying to say, that the Tzara would be permitted to be taken in Yibum, because she's not an a Tzara of Achis Ishtai, or a Tzara of Chametz, or whatever one of these other cases that were a created Erva at a later point in time, because the erva cannot be chal. So she's a tzara of a regular co-wife. Now, Taisus asks a legitimate question, which the Gemara later on, Lamed Beis, will explain this, is that if you're saying that the Issa Chesh Isha will not be chal on this brother's wife, even if you marry the sister at a later point in time, and then his brother dies, but then why doesn't the erva be able to be taken in Yibum? She's just an Eish Asach. The fact that she's your wife's sister, you said, cannot be chal, because the issue of Eshesach is already there, now so then she's just a regular Eshesach. And the husband died without any children, so that should be Eshesach. She'ein lebanim, and there's a mitzvah of Yibim. You could even do Yibim to that Erev itself. And that Taisa explains that no. It's what's called mitle tole b'koy. The Issach Eshesha, yes, it cannot be Chal, because you have the Isser of Eshesach. But the thing is, what does Yibim do? Yibim removes the Isser Eshesach. Well, if you remove that, now the other one could fall down in place, because you remove that other one, and now, so you would say it's mutter. Now it says, oh, it's not mutter, because she's also your wife's sister. And that's why that will never allow us to do yibum to the erva herself, to the wife's sister itself. But however, she will not be the erva of Achis Ishtai, because she's still only Eshesach. And if she's Eshesach, so then I understand what you're trying to say, that the tzara is not a tzara of an erva of Achis Ishtai. Fine. But the Gemara says, what I don't understand is Elo Nosachai, if let's say the living brother, what we call the Yavim, if he married first, that is, he married the first of the sisters, and which makes the other sister now first forbidden because of a Achis Ishtai. And then the Achkach Nasameis, only then did the brother that now died without any children, only then did he marry what was already forbidden to the Yavim because of a Achis Ishtai. Now, in that case, Achis Isha Kadim, the Isser of Achis Isha was before the Isser of Eishes Ach. That means that she is already Achis Ishtai. So in such a case, according to what Rav is explaining in Bishamai, Bishamai should agree that even if you say Enes Echal Lister, fine. So Eishes Ach won't be Chalna, but she's married to the brother and she's Achis Ishtai. That makes the Tzara a Tzara of Achis Ishtai, because that was the first thing to be Chal. So how does Rav explain in that type of case why Bishamai would hold it's not a Tzara of an Erva, even if you say Enes Echal Lister? So that thing Mark explains, as we already had explained this from Rashi in the beginning, is because, okay, fine. So you'll say that Achis Isha was the first one. And like as Rashi explained, it's not just ones of marriage. Let's say Bitoy, something that was already an erva from birth. So, but Kivin Deloy Osse Isser Eishes Ach V'chayil A Isser Achis Isha. What Rav is saying is even more than that. He's saying that not just that the erva cannot be chal on the Eishes Ach, so therefore she won't be a Tzara erva. It's even if the erva came first, it's his daughter, or let's say he married, the living brother married the first sister first. But however you're saying, so now another Isser of Eishes Ach, of his brother's wife, cannot be chal on the Issa of Achis Isha. And essentially, halachically, what that means is, as if she's not his brother's wife, because you're only looking at her of the Isser of Achis Isha. So havilat tzaras ervish lebemaka mitzvah. So essentially what she is, it makes the co-wife of an erva, yes, she's achis isha, she's your daughter, she's an erva to you, and the co-wife is a co-wife of an erva, but she's lebemaka mitzvah. It's as if it's not coming in the context of a eishes ach, because regarding the iser, we don't view her as your brother's wife, because She's not married to your brother in the halacha of Isurim, because we don't view that Isur. We only view the Isur of Achaisisha. So then she's like those six women we mentioned in our Mishnah, where yes, they're very stringent. They're definitely in the Erva, but they're only Shalei B'Makom Mitzvah. They're not married to your brother. So B'Shaya, that's why we view this as if virtually she's not married to your brother, because that Isav Eishas Ach cannot be Chal and Isav Chesisha. And that's what Rav was saying. According to B'Shamai, every Erva, the reason why Tzaras Erva, yes, maybe this is such a halacha of Tzaras Erva, but it's not feasible to have the exemption of Tzaras Erva. Because every Erva, let's say his daughter marries his brother, she's first and foremost, and if it's the other way, so then the Isser Erva, either way you look at it, you can't have both. If let's say the Isser Eishes Ach came first, then the Erva cannot be Chal afterwards. And if it's like all the other ones, like Bitay, or if the living brother married the first sister first, that the Erva came first, well then Isser Eishes Ach cannot be Chal. And then it's like a tzaras erva, shaloi b'makom mitzvah, as if it wasn't even married to the brother. And in such a case, there's no halacha of litzrar. It's only by aleha, and that's why the tzara of an erva, according to B'Shamai, according to Rav's interpretation, will always be permitted. Now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah. We said about this machlekes B'Shamai B'Shil, regarding the halacha, if tzaras erva is asur or mutter. So the Mishnah said, so therefore we have halachic ramifications. Chaltzui, if they did chalitza to the tzar of the erva, so B'Shamai paisan, B'Shamai say that they'll be pasal to kahuna because there was some type of get given to them. They're a grusha on some level. And B'Shamai says, no, they're kash to kahuna. There's no chalitza done over here. It wasn't anything halachically because tzaras erva are totally pater from even chalitza. So I think I'm going to ask Pshita. I mean, this seems to be pretty logical in the sense of, since according to B'Shamai, they have a yibum Zika, they have a bond for Yibum, because he said there's no exemption of a Tzaras Erva. So obviously, if you do Chalitza, they're pasul, like Gerishin pasuls a woman from Kahuna. And yet, according to Beisel, that since he says that they're exempt from the Zika of Yibum, so of course, if Chalitza is done, they're kasha to Kahuna, because there was no Chalitza done over here. So why did the Mishnah have to follow through with that halachic ramification? The Gemara says, no, it wasn't so pashut. Because lafuga de Rebbi Menuri, we had to exclude from the pin of Rebbi Menuri that's mentioned on the next daf, that's brought in the price, so Dama that he said, Bayu Nisakin Lamatzar. So he says, we have this Machlekes B'Shamai Sol. So he says, let's rectify the situation for the co-wives of the Arayas. Shiuchaltzis Vulay Mesiamis. Let's find some middle ground for B'Shamai Sol that they shouldn't be totally exempt because, according to B'Shamai, they actually are Machuyiv in the mitzvah of Yim Chalitza. Yeah, we don't want them to be either Yibum because, according to Beis Hill, they're. And Tzaras Erva there is, they have a chi of Karas. So he says that du chalitza and not yibum. Now, if we held a Rebbi Yochanan ben Nuri, since there would be requirement of chalitza, since chalitza, and although they're not full-fledged like to do yibum, but there would be an obligation of chalitza, so the chalitza would be poisoned even according to Beis Hill. I think Gemara says, kamash malan to Beis Hill machshirin. That's what the chiddush of our Mishnah is, to say that we don't hold a Rebbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That is, even according to Beis Hill, we do not make any rabbinic enactments to the tzaras for them to do chalitza. So there's no chalitza obligation whatsoever. So it's as if chalitza wasn't done, and that's why they're going to be kosher for kahuna. Now the Gemara continues, our Mishnah said nisyabmo. Then another ramification we said, if yibm is done to them, so Basil paislin. Basil said that actually these women are pasav kahuna, because they're zionists, and therefore they're pasav kahuna, because since they're forbidden as a chiv of karis to these men, because they're now back to the Eishes Ach, so therefore they're pasul tikuna. But Rashi does say they're not removed from the permission of having truma from their father's household, because that's not by when you have an intimate relationship with someone of karis. That's only if you have a bia with a chol, a nasin, a mamzer, idol worshiper, or a slave, as the Gemara brings in Perek Amon L'Kohen Gadol. But be that as it may, the Gemara is hasul amali. So what do you need this for? So fine, we already had the case of Chalitza, which was excluded from Yechim Menuri, but Yibum, obviously, according to Bissel, there's a Isser Karis, because there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So of course they're going to be Pasul. According to Bishamah, of course they're going to be Kasher, because they're regular women. Now the Gemara says, you're right, I did the Tana Chaltzu, once we mentioned the two options of Yibum and Chalitza, we mentioned Chalitza, and that we said that there is a Chiddush to exclude from Yechim Menuri. So Tana Nam Nisyabu, so we already said the other side of the coin of Yibum, but of course that was something Pasher that would come out of ramification of this Machlekes B'Shamai Bissel. Now the Gemara introduces a discussion which will become related to the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Now, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet Megillah. It says, Megillah Nikras, the Megillah could be read for the mitzvah of Purim, Be'echad Asr on the 11th of Adar, B'shneim Asr the 12th, B'shleish Asr the 13th, B'abba Asr the 14th of Adar, U'v'chamish Asr and the 15th of Adar. Lo'ipachas v'lo'yaser, it's only read one time. But depending on who you are, from what location you are, you could read it anywhere from the 11th of Adar to the 15th, but not earlier and not later. Now, on that, I'm only Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechonah. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechonah the following question. It says, Ikri Khan, you should apply to this halacha that's mentioned in that Mishnah, a pasuk in the Varm, that says, Loitis Goydidu. What does that mean? It means, Loitasa Agudis Agudis. You shouldn't make, as the word says, Goydidu, there's two Agudis, it sounds like, you shouldn't make two groups, and that is, you shouldn't make, as if the Torah looks like, two different Torahs. Because what you're doing is that the people that live in the villages, they go ahead and read the Megillah in what's called the Yom HaKanisa. They could go read it earlier, as the Gemara Masechet Megillah explains, on the Monday and Thursday before Purim, but the large cities that are not the villages, they have to read on the 14th. Then those that are surrounded with walls, they read on the 15th. What do you mean? It looks like totally different Torahs. They're reading it on one day, they're reading on a different day, and they're reading on a third day. That's a problem, it seems, halachically, of like this guy to do. You have every Jew doing their own thing. Now, that Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rish Lakish. Hai loitis gaidu mi boile le gufer. What do you mean? The pasuk loitis gaidu. You need for what this sounds like a drush, but it's not an appropriate explanation. The pasuk is telling you a different halacha. Dam rachmana, the Torah tells you loitasu chabura al meis. You shouldn't make yourself inflict a wound because of a relative of yours, someone that died. And that is the word gedida is like a tattoo, an engravement in the flesh of a person, like the nation, the Amoris, they would do that because of mourning on a dead person. That's what loitis gaidu means. Don't make a gedida, don't make a permanent blemish in your flesh because of the person that died. How do you know that it's coming to say about agudis, agudis, to ask such a question? So I think about it says, imkein lemakul loitis gaidu, it's not true. If it was coming to tell you just that you cannot make inflict a wound in your body, it would have said, Leitu goydidu, which that would sound like a gedida, a chabura. My tis goydidu. What's the tis goydidu? Shemamina, Allah Huda Asav is coming to tell you that there's two definitions in this pasuk, not just of a gedida, but also a gudis. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Vemakuli Allah Huda Asav. If that's the case, maybe say that the pasuk is not forbidding of making a gedida in your flesh. Maybe it's only coming to say that you shouldn't make a gudis, you shouldn't make different camps of every Jew doing their own thing. How do you know that's also forbidden to make a gedida? And some have the girsa loy tis gaidu or loy tug gaidu. It should say, with only one dalet, it should say that tis gaidu, that would mean the lashon of aguda, that you can't make camps, meaning different groups. My loy tis gaididu. So there's two tufts and there's two dalets. Shemaim and Otar, the Abbas come and tell us that there's both halachas. There's a prohibition of, first of all, making a permanent blemish in your flesh over a person that died. And there's also a halacha of not making different agudas, different camps in the Jewish people. And therefore the question is, that how can we have their reading Megillah on the 13th, and their reading Megillah on the 14th, and their reading on the 15th? That should be a problem of agudas, agudas. So Amalei Sir Biyachim responded to Rish Lakish. He says, Ad kan loy shanisa? In other words, why asking over here, Masechtas Megillah? Didn't you already learn in Masechtas Pesachim that you could have asked that same question over there? It says over there, Makom shenogu la'asas malacha, a place where the minhag hamakom, the custom of that location, is that they do work on Erev Pesach until noontime, so then they could do malacha till then. Makom shenogu shalei la'asas eisin, a place where the minhag is not to do, then they don't do. Could ask the question of Masechta Pesachim already. Could have said that, what do you mean? They're doing work, they're not doing work. What do you mean? What's the halacha? So Amalei Rish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yechonah and says, what do you mean? I'm telling you something that's a prohibition, that's an isser. And that is, Rabbanan made it forbidden for people that live in big cities, who their time to read the Megillah is on the 14th. If they want to read on the 15th, they're not allowed to. So too, those who live in the walled cities, if they want to read on the 14th, they're not allowed to. So that looks like two totally different Torahs. Their halacha is saying, isser for you to read on the 14th. You are not allowed to read on the 15th. And yet everyone's doing what's forbidden for the other one. Dam Rav Shimon bar Abba Rabbi Yechonon, that as he brings this, that says in the pasuk in the Megillah, says, L'kayim es yimei ha-purim bizmanehem, that they should fulfill the times, their days of Purim in their appropriate times. What's bizmanehem in their time? Zmanim har b'tiklam chacham, that sages instituted many different times for different types of Jews, depending on where they live. So that's an isser, because they have to read it in their time. V'at amrit li ben haga, and you're telling me a halacha of a minig? And that is regarding doing malacha on Erev Pesach, everybody agrees that you're permitted to do malacha till Chatzais. It's just saying in that Mishnah that if it's a place where they're stringent, that you shouldn't change it because of the machlekes, because that's already the minig. But halachically, there's no iser. So therefore, what are you asking on me? Meaning, I'm asking from here with this iser. That looks like totally different Torahs. But they're minig, so fine. That's because they don't want to create fights. But don't ask from me that why I didn't ask from there. Now, that the Gemara asks back on Rish Lakish. What do you mean? What do you think that there regarding doing malacha on Erev Pesach, that's not regarding a full-fledged prohibition, it's just a minig? But Vatnan, we learn the Mishnah Masechet B'sachim that says, Balailam, the night before Pesach, the night of Bedikas Chametz, when you're checking for Chametz, it says, Beshami Oisrin, they say it's forbidden, Ubisil Matirin, Bisil says it's permitted to do malacha. Now, you see that their terminology is saying that it's Asr and Mutter. And yet there are those that do like Bissel, and there are those that do like Bishamai. And therefore we see that there is agudis, that there are different camps. And therefore, you could have asked from already there that you see that not just a minig, they're using the terminology of asr and mutter, and yet some are doing like that, some are doing like that. So Amalei, so Rish Lakish responds and says, no, I didn't ask from there, because Hassam, over there, it doesn't look like two different tires. Why? Even though, yes, there's a isurim that we're talking about, because Haraya, the one that sees this person that's not doing work, he's going to say, Malacha Hudalesle, he doesn't have work to do. He doesn't have what to do, and therefore that's why he's not doing work. So therefore, although yes, it's regarding Yisurim, and one Jew is doing like this, one Jew is doing like that, but there's still no problem like this Goydu doesn't look like this Agudis Agudis. They don't look like they're doing their own thing, because it looks like that everyone's doing work, and the ones that are not doing, they just don't have work to do. And that's why there's no problem. But here, in Megillah, everyone looks like they're doing something actively, and we see that it looks like latest goyidu, like two totally different halachas of Torah. But on that, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yechon responds to Rish Lakish, what do you mean from our Mishnah? But Beishame matirin hatzoris la'achem, Beishame permit the tzoris to the brothers, u'bisalaisim, b'sal say it's forbidden. And we see that we're not concerned for the fact that they're two totally different halachas, and we're not concerned as if it's two totally different Torahs. So why are you asking just from there in the Mishnah Maseches Megillah? So now the Gemara continues to top of the Yudalim and Aleph, where Rish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yechon, and he says, "Mi sabr asu b'shami k'divrayim? Do you think the b'shami did like their opinion? Lo yasu b'shami k'divrayim. B'shami did not do like their opinion. Because of course it would be a problem of loy tiskei to do. And that's why I'm not asking from there, but from the halacha of Megillah, it seems problematic. How did the sages institute something that would be a problem of loy tiskei to do? Rabbi Yechon Amr, he says, no, asu v'asu, they did, Beishamai did like they did, and Beisil did like they did, and therefore we see that we're not concerned about the fact that it should be a problem of like this guy do. So why are you asking just from the Mishnah, Maseches Megillah? As the Gemara says, Pluk the Rav Shmuel, the Rav Amr, lo yasu Beishamai k'divrayim, Rav says that although Beishamai had a different opinion, they did not follow their own opinion, and that's why, like Rish Lakish holds like that he did not ask from our Mishnah. But Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Yechanan, that the Shammai did like they did, and then Beisil did like they did this, and that's why it would be the same thing that's saying, so why are you asking from the Mishnah Maseches Megillah? You could ask from our Mishnah too, because essentially it's the same halacha that it should be, what you're asking, a problem of Lo Yitzkaidu. Which the Gemara in the coming daf will explain, so if it is a question, not just a Mishnah Maseches Megillah, like Rabbi Yechon is saying, so what is the resolution of why is this halacha in our Mishnah not a problem of the halacha of loy tiskei do?